The transition from teenager to adult is usually pretty rough. Navigating independence, identity, sexuality. All of it can be even harder for someone living with a disability.
I want to see all aspects of life. Just because I'm legally blind doesn't mean I have to miss out on what the world has to offer.
That is Michelle Smith, the curious and remarkably frank central figure in a new locally made documentary titled Best and Most Beautiful Things. The documentary, being released on iTunes today, follows the six-year journey to young adulthood of the one-time student at the Perkins School for the Blind in Watertown. WBUR's Andrea Shea, with help from artery writer Aaron Tron, has this report on how the film breaks boundaries about disability and sex in ways the filmmakers never expected. We should say here that while there's no explicit language in this report, parents may not want to share the story with young listeners.
Garrett Zavidas remembers feeling hopeless back in 2009 after working on a documentary about mercenaries in Iraq. But the world-weary U.S. Navy vet, who bartends in Cambridge to pay the rent, found a beacon of light in a quote from Helen Keller.
It was, "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or touched. They must be felt by the heart."
Zavidas remembered that Keller had been a student in nearby Watertown at Perkins School for the Blind. He started volunteering at the famous institution, thinking he'd make a documentary inspired by Keller's legacy. Soon, Zavidas learned a depressing statistic. 75% of visually impaired people are unemployed. That did not bode well for future Perkins grads, including a quirky, whip-smart student named Michelle Smith.
After like 5 minutes of sensing her indomitable positive spirit, I said, "This is someone that I could follow to the dark side of what it means to have a disability in this world, and well, she will never despair." And I asked her if she would like to be in a documentary, and she said yes, and that was 6 years ago.
People like me, the geeks and weirdos, I say that in a loving way. You know, we're like, "Don't worry, it gets better. You just have to survive it."
That's Smith during a recent visit to Boston. Early in the film, she recalls being bullied and ostracized as a public school kid in Bangor, Maine.
The kids would literally be like, "Ew, there's Michelle. We're going to catch her disease," and then just like run away. That was probably the worst, because I couldn't see the faces people made, but I could hear the words, and that hurt the most.
Eventually, Smith, who's partially blind and has Asperger's syndrome, finds an oasis at Perkins. The film's director and the female cinematographers who follow the budding young woman shot hours of footage in class as Smith learned about herself through music and literature. After 2 years, Smith graduates. Here's what she says in the film.
"I'm gonna miss this place, but in some ways I feel like I've almost outgrown it. I wanna leave and I wanna take on the world. The world will be my burrito."
Zavidas hoped his documentary would end happily after Smith's graduation, but it doesn't. The young woman moves back to her mother's house in Maine. She gets and quickly loses a job. People at Perkins started asking Zavidas questions about Smith's status.
They said, "Let me guess, she's isolated at home, at her parents' home, on a computer." And I said, "How'd you know?" And they said, "That's what happens to all these students that have a disability." And they said, "We call it the cliff." So in that moment, I said to myself, "Well, that's the story I have to document."
So Zavidas kept filming Smith's quest for independence and connection. His crew practically moved in with her family. Then Smith's story takes an unexpected twist that surprised the filmmakers. Zavidas talks about how he handled it when his subject opened up about her sexuality.
She gave me little hints that I did not want to even really hear about at the time. I was kind of uncomfortable. But it was apparent that it was a big part of her. And so I talked to my producer, Ariana, and Ariana said, "Well, it sounds like she found community." And I said, "Wow, yes." And as soon as Ariana said that, it just clicked that this isn't something we could ignore.
That something is Smith's involvement in what's known as the BDSM community, people interested in erotic role-playing, bondage, dominance, and submission.
It was certainly a surprise.
That's one of the film's cinematographers and producers, Jordan Salvatoriello.
It was, as a filmmaker, very exciting because this is some uncharted territory in a lot of ways. You don't see this in a lot of films, and certainly not through somebody who has a disability. I'm really proud of her.
Salvatoriello admits it was difficult to stand back and witness Smith's unconventional coming of age.
You feel that fear for her, that just natural first instinct of wanting to protect her and wanting to be like, she must be taken advantage of. How could she not? And then you have to really check yourself.
In the film, Michelle explains her attraction to the kink community with non-judgmental frankness. In this scene, she presses her nose right up against her computer screen so she can read her online profile out loud.
When I first got into this lifestyle, I was convinced that no one would want to play with some blind chick. I'm so happy I was wrong.
Smith has her first serious relationship with a like-minded young man who shares her passions. Their views tap into an ongoing cultural shift in attitudes about how gender and sexuality should or shouldn't be defined, called sex positivity. In the film, Smith tells her teacher at Perkins, Jeff Migliosi, about her exploration. He's blind, too, and says his former student is breaking boundaries by talking so candidly about a topic many blind people believe is ignored.
They have this perception that the general public doesn't see them as sexual beings. Anything that you can do to kind of show that side of our lives is important. It's like anybody else. It's part of the fabric of being a human being.
Smith was 18 when the cameras started rolling. Now she's 24. Smith's mother, Julie, admits it's been a little cringe-inducing to have her daughter's sex life, along with her family's often tumultuous private life, exposed like an unlocked diary. Still, Julie Smith says the documentary captures her daughter.
That's Michelle. Michelle is a complete open book. She will talk to you about absolutely everything and anything.
I honestly feel more comfortable with this than hiding everything that I'm about for the rest of my life. You know, if I can make people become more open-minded and less judgmental, I feel like I've done something great.
That's the message Smith and the filmmakers who followed her for 6 years hope to share with more people now that the film is being released to a wider audience. While she's still unemployed, Smith says being in this documentary and advocating about sex positivity and an overall culture of acceptance is giving her a profound sense of purpose, which is what Smith's been looking for all along. In collaboration with Artery writer Erin Tron, I'm Andrea Shea.